Do you believe? I didn't say, do you have faith? Do you believe? Faith is a noun. Believe is a verb. Do you believe? Thomas is in high school, and he's taking science classes. Not all of his teachers are believers. Thomas has a science teacher that's not a believer. And a few days before the Easter break, his science teacher decided that he was going to show his cards to the class of high school kids, and he says, I want you to know as you go out on your Easter break that it's all a myth. It's all make-believe. There's no such thing as the miracle of resurrection. If you believe in that miracle, then you can't believe in science. It's scientifically impossible. And no God would be in heaven and send his son to earth to get crucified on a cross. I'm here to tell you, kids, there is no God, there is no Jesus, and believing is foolish. Well, Thomas was in the class. He's been raised in the faith. He's a believer. He stood up and he said, with all due respect, I'm a Christian. This is a high school kid. Stand on his ground. I'm a Christian, and I believe in Jesus, and I believe in the resurrection. And so his science teacher, he says, well, I'll tell you what. If you believe in God and you believe in the resurrection, let's just put it to the test. The teacher walks over to this refrigerator they have in the science classroom, takes out an egg, a fresh egg, and he says, I'm going to drop this egg. It's going to hit the ground because of gravity. And it's going to split apart. And there's going to be a mess all over the floor. Now, Thomas, you say you believe in God. So I'll tell you what. You go ahead and you pray right now that when this egg hits the ground, that it won't break. And if it doesn't break, then you will have proven that God exists and that your faith is real. Well, Thomas took him up on that challenge. Thomas stood up and he said, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you gave us your Son, Jesus. All things are possible. All things are possible for you and with you. And I pray, Lord, that when this egg falls and hits the ground, that it'll bust into lots of pieces and yolk all over the floor. And I pray that when that egg hits the floor, that my science teacher will have a heart attack and die. Amen. And there was a gasp. All the students. And the science teacher looked out there holding the egg in his hand at Thomas. And then he looked at the class. And he went and he put the egg back in the refrigerator and said, class dismissed. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written here. But these are written, that you may come to believe, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Make believe. Have you ever heard of make believe? Think about it. Make believe, when you hear it, you think, urban legend. Fake news, somebody's just making it up, right? I mean, isn't that what you think about, like fairy tales? I want to suggest that in light of our scriptures for tonight, that you think about make-believe for what it actually is. Not fairy tale, not a made-up story, but make to create. Believe. What if it's not your decision and your choice? What if believing happens to be something that God makes happen, that God creates, so that make believe is God's creation of faith in you, making you and me believers in Jesus Christ and the resurrection? Make believe. Making believers in the best sense of the word. The word, Jesus, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of your sins. Make believe, not a fairy tale, but the gift of faith. That's what Luther was talking about. Article 3, his meaning, the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has. The Holy Spirit has given me, created this gift of faith in you and in me. The Holy Spirit has done what you and I cannot do on our own. The Holy Spirit makes believe and believers and people of faith by the grace of God, calls, sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, keeps it united with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, day after day, he fully forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, he will raise me and all believers in Christ and give me and all believers eternal life. This is most certainly true. What if make believe is the message that John is trying to get out to people? John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. It's the theme of all 21 chapters of the Gospel of John. That everything Jesus did was so that make believe could be your way of joy and life here and forever in the presence of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we heard the good news of Easter told by St. Matthew. Tonight, we hear the good news of Easter told by St. John. Let's just back it up a little bit. Remember how John chapter 20 begins? It's Easter morning. It's still dark. And Mary Magdalene comes out and she sees that someone has, in fact, unlocked the door of death. The stone has been rolled away, and immediately she goes running to Peter and to the beloved disciple John. Someone has stolen his body away. I mean, that's the assumption. She's not trying to propagate fake news. She's not telling people a story, you know, make believe in that sense. She's trying to give them the message of what she's just seen with her own eyes, even though it's still dark out. And Peter and John, they have a foot race to the tomb. And they look in, and they see that the body is gone, and they believe. What do they believe? Well, probably they believe what Mary has told them, that there have been grave robbers, breaking and entering, thieves, because they head back and they join the rest of the apostles. And as you know, they just sit there together in a room with the doors closed, with the doors locked. Right? But Mary, she hangs around. She stays in the cemetery, and she's weeping. Suddenly, she sees two angels, messengers, preachers. Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? What are you seeking? And then she sees a man that she assumes is the gardener. He speaks to her and says, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" "Well, they've taken away my Lord. If you know where he is, tell me so that I can take him away." Grave robbers. Nasty thieves. And then you remember what happens? Mary. He speaks her name, and immediately make believe happens. Make believe. She grabs hold of Jesus and she holds on to him for dear life. Think about that. She holds on to him for dear life. And he says, you got to let go of me. You got to go and tell the disciples. I'm ascending. Get the news out. Go and tell. And she does. And do they believe? They're all in the same room together, and the door is shut, and the doors are locked because they're afraid. They're afraid of the ones who put Jesus on the cross, and that they're on the list, and that they're next to be executed. They've heard the good news, but they have a hard time believing. Someone's going to have to make believers out of them. Well, Thomas isn't there, remember? And people say, you know, they kind of give him a bad rap, you know, doubting Thomas and all this kind of stuff. But maybe he's the only one that's actually out checking it out. Well, if Mary saw him, if this is really true, if it's not just grave robbers, maybe all the time when he said that the Son of Man is going to rise on the third day, maybe, who knows? Maybe he's out checking it out. I don't think he's just on a beer run or going to get some cigarettes at 7-Eleven. I don't think that. But he wasn't there, and even though the doors are shut and even though they're locked, Jesus appears in their midst. And what's the first thing Jesus does? Peace be with you. I mean, he's not into the mood of let's get even here. Let's have a little payback. Peace be with you. That's pardon, you know. That's forgiveness, you know. Peace be with you. He breathes on them. That's the breath that creates. That's the breath that he exhaled from the cross. He breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then he commissions them. He sends them. To do what? To use the keys. I mean, you don't have to worry about the locks anymore. Locked up in the love and forgiveness of Jesus, the resurrected one, he gives you the keys so that you can release and unlock and set free those who are still held captive to sin and death and the evil one. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven, unlocked. If you retain the sins of any, you lock them up, they're retained. As the Father sent me, even so I send you. Thomas wasn't there. As soon as he comes back, they say what Mary had said to them. I have seen the Lord. Christ is risen indeed. They didn't believe Mary. They all say, Thomas, we've seen him. The wounds, everything. We touched him. And Thomas says, unless I see with my own eyes, unless I touch with my own hands, the wounds where the nails were, the wound with my fist where the spear went in, I'm not going to believe. So 1 week later, they're all huddled in there, right? They said that Jesus is alive, and they're all huddled together in a room, and the doors are still shut, and they're still locked. What in the world is the problem with believing? Well, you know, in John's gospel, you never find faith. You only find believe. 97 times, believe, believing. In the rest of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, only 35 times believe. You don't find the noun faith in the Gospel of John. You only find the verb. Because believing is the way of life for those who have been immersed in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Thomas wasn't there, and so 1 week later, Jesus comes back. And the doors are shut and locked, and he appears in their midst. And he says, okay, Thomas. He breathes on them. Peace be with you, right? Get over here, Thomas. You want to check it out? You want to touch it? Come on. Let's do it right now, here. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. You know where Thomas took the gospel, right? Southern India. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. That's what believers do. They worship and then they get out there and they share the good news with others. They use the keys. They unlock people that are held captive to all kinds of make-believe stuff in our world, so that God can, through the Holy Spirit and through the breathing, can create free people, freed in Christ from sin and death. I was visiting this past week with a couple from our congregation. They have a cousin that's out in Nebraska. And in the midst of it, looking, trying to help this person to find a church home, LCMC or NALC, but not a lot of choices out there. And in the midst of the conversation, they shared this with me. They said, well, she said on the phone that she was baptized and that she's saved. And she said, but I need to go to church. I need a church. She hadn't been to church for years. And when the couple told me this story, I thought, good. You need to tell your cousin. You need to say, that's right. Believe is not a noun. It's a verb. It's an action. It's a behavior. It's a way of life. It's a being. It's a doing. It's a breathing. You see? Baptized and saved so that we can worship and be in church, the body of Christ, and go and share the good news with others. That's who we are. My Lord and my God, Thomas says. How could I not believe? Right? How could I not believe? I mean, you can almost hear in that confession where he's crying out from the gut, make believe me. Jesus, Lord, God, make believe me. Because we know how hard it is. It is hard to believe, isn't it? And so the Holy Spirit has to keep breathing. Breathing in you and upon you and through you so that your sins are forgiven. And you're raised to new life. Don't be afraid. I read a story yesterday. It comes from the 1980s, so it's a while back. But a man was going over to China, and people were asking him to take Bibles and literature for the Christians in China. He stopped over in Hong Kong. They said, here, we got Bibles for you. But he said, I was afraid. It's against the law. What if I get caught? I could end up locked up in jail. His good friend took him to meet an elderly couple. The husband is 60, 61. The wife is 60. She got some tea for them in Hong Kong. They're sitting, it's a little flat, you know, a small little apartment, hardly any furniture in it for this 60 and 61-year-old couple, you know. And she brings the tea, and he said, I'm sitting there with my friend, and she's serving us tea. You should have seen this, the husband and the wife. Oh, my goodness. You know, they're like newlyweds. They were so sweet and gentle with each other. I mean, it was just unbelievable, he said. And he said, I started kind of noticing that, and you know, and then pretty soon they started laughing. And I asked my friend, what's going on? He said, well, he noticed that you were noticing how endeared they were with each other. They're newlyweds. Really? Yeah, they're newlyweds. You see, in 1949, the husband was at the Nanking Seminary when the Chinese communists came in, took over the building, and took all the seminarians out to a labor prison. He was there for 30 years. He got one visit a year from his fiancée. They came the night of their rehearsal. They were supposed to get married the next day. The night of the rehearsal, he was taken off. Once a year, she got to come and see him for a visit. And at the end of the visit, when she left, the prison warden, the jailer, would come and say, "You love her, don't you? You want to go home to your family, don't you? You want to spend your life with her, don't you? All you got to do, you just renounce that Jesus of yours. That's all you got to do." 30 years. He said, "After what Jesus has done for me, there is no way that I'm going to betray him." The next day, this young man, he went to the friends in Hong Kong and he said, "Load up my suitcases with all the Bibles you got and with all the literature and stuff I can take there to our Chinese Christian friends." And he said, "I wasn't afraid anymore. I never lied to anybody. I didn't hide what was in my suitcases. But they never searched them. And I was able to deliver the word." Now, Jesus did many other signs that are not written in this book, the Gospel of John. But these are written for make-believe, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by believing, you may have life in his name. It's the keys. It's the peace of God. It's the breathing of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. Christ is risen. Indeed, alleluia. Amen. We rise as we are able for our human.